there. If you are a woman who does not have kids by chance, not by choice, this message is for you. If you had an inner desire to be a mother but never came to reality, this show is for you. If you got married at a later stage in your life, or if you are single and you never had the chance to even try, this is for you. If you were a mama at some point and suffered a loss, this is for you too. And if you want to feel like you are a part of a community, alongside other women who have walked a similar path, who understand you, who see you and feel you, this is where you belong. This show is called By Chance Podcast, a space for sacred conversations with women who don't have kids by chance, not by choice. I'm Elizabeth Diglau-Gus, your new friend and podcast host. I am a woman who has overcome 10 years of infertility struggles, including 3 years of failed adoptions. So trust me when I say, I see you. I'm also a social entrepreneur and a life coach, focusing on helping women thrive rather than just survive. I help women who are ready to transform their lives, empower themselves to live with purpose and radical self-love. Together, let's celebrate life and being a woman without being defined by the role of motherhood. And my hope is that you will feel seen, heard, and feel less alone when you tune in. Now it's time. Let's go. Welcome to another episode of By Chance Podcast. This episode with Michelle gets real, and her vulnerability and honesty really moved me. I hope you can take inspiration from her story as much as I have, and I can't wait for you to listen to her. Enjoy.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for being here, and thank you for really agreeing to be my guest as I start this journey.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so we don't know each other. This is the first time we're talking to each other, but I think one of the things I posted once on my social media account, because I share my story there and you've been following me. So I share my story. And when I posted early this year about ending our adoption efforts, your comment, probably one of those comments that really just moved me. And I don't know if you remember this, but you actually said there, I don't know you, but I know your pain. And you wrote a long message, but I think that line was just so telling, and the vulnerability that you put out there and just the authenticity and the empathy and the validation that I needed at that moment. So I'm very, very thankful and I appreciate you so much because I was vulnerable when I was sharing that message that, you know, we ended our adoption efforts and I don't know where, how it's going to go from here, but, you know, we're willing to really start the healing process now and moving on after, you know, dealing with this for 10 years, really trying and waiting. But yeah, your message was just like, I know your pain. And it was just like, I really got teary-eyed and it's really a validation of someone else. So many out there are going through this, but we don't know, right? And I think this is one of the reasons why we're having this conversation, because there's really no space for this. And there's so many of us who are probably feeling the same way, but we're not talking about it. And so thank you again. I appreciate you. And thank you for reaching out through that message. And so because of that, I reached out to you and asked you if you could be, you know, here and share your story. And you've been so gracious and kind and just brave to really share. So thank you. Thank you again. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. Okay.
You're very welcome.
So obviously, I want to know more about your story. But I think before we dig deep, can you tell us something that you're really just passionate about right now that you're doing? Because I want to kind of keep this very raw, organic, just very light. But let's talk about something, you know, just something that you're passionate with, that you get, you know, you're busy with these days.
Right now, my passion is about memory keeping, scrapbooking, journaling. I really like to, like, oh, we don't have kids. I don't have anybody to pass this stuff down to. You know, who's going to read it? It's important for me to capture everyday memory, not just fancy, you know, or special or vacation, but every single day of just, who did the dishes today? Like, I'm doing laundry today. Just everyday things. It's important to me.
So you said scrapbooking, right? Like just crafting and scrapbooking and journaling. That's amazing.
Yeah, just, yeah, it's really fun too. It's very relaxing.
I used to scrapbook a lot, but it takes a lot of time. And it can get like...
It does.
You can spend a lot of time just putting things together. And I remember I would shop for just like the little things that you would put on a scrapbook. And yeah, that was fun. Just kind of like, okay, this is too much. It's a lot of work, but that's amazing. It's really great to look back and go over those, right? And it's just like, yeah, it's just something fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay, so you had kids, and that's why we're having this conversation right now. And you did mention that you, I think on your message, that you've been married for 30 plus years. So
31. Yeah, like,
where, if you want to share something about where do you guys live and how this journey really started of like, you know, the trying and the waiting.
Mm-hmm. We live in Lake Elsinore in a little kind of niche in the mountain, but we're 30 minutes from Target. It works out really well because I don't think I could live far, far away where, you know, there's nothing around. But we live in this beautiful place in the forest. But, you know, my work is only 30 minutes away. So we love it here.
Elsinore is California, right?
Southern California.
Is that right? Yeah. That's what I thought. So I think it's about, what, a couple of hours away from Los Angeles?
Yes, about two.
Okay. I don't think we've ever gone that area, but I've been hearing all about it. So yeah it's got to be beautiful there.
It really is.
Have you always lived there?
No, we lived here for 10 years. We've lived in Huntington Beach. We've lived in Irvine, South Orange County cities. But this is the far that we've gone. So we usually live more inland than east. We're more east now.
So what inspired you to move there? Is it work or is it just you guys want to change it up?
It's not necessarily climate before, but we were just looking for, we are 450 square feet. So it's technically a tiny home, but we have a little bedroom with a door. That was important to me. But we don't need a lot of space. We don't need a lot of stuff. So my husband actually lost his job, which prompted us to replace that a two bedroom. And then we just found this place and it was just, this is perfect. It's perfect for us.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many beautiful tiny homes and really a lot of people actually prefer tiny homes, which is, it's practical. It's, you know, it's just what it is. Like there's no fluff, right?
Yeah. We have a nice deck. Yeah. So we have outdoor living too.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. So going back, you know, this journey, I know you tried for 13 years. Is that correct?
Well, so we started trying to get pregnant in 2005 after my nephew was born. We were 22, but I'm adopted and we were 20. And I feel like that was that you can't be ready at 20. I'm not saying you can't be, but for me, it seemed too young. So we waited until I was 31 to start. Trying. I had severe stage 5 endometriosis. We knew it was going to be hard. But we gave it a year of trying without any assistance and it didn't happen. And the doctor and I had two surgeries in that time to try to clear up the endometriosis, but they weren't successful. And I actually went on more surgeries, which also did not do what they were supposed to do. So we knew we were kind of fighting an uphill battle from the very beginning. So we started trying and you know we tried for a year without any assistance and then like two more years with insemination, infertility drugs, that way, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We did not do in vitro with husband at the time, but we were saving up for it. And then my sister decided to adopt a little girl from China. So, and she's beautiful and she's perfect. And we went there to get her with my sister. So we thought, if this doesn't work out, if we can't get pregnant after trying for 4 years, four or five, by the end of it, it was four or five, we thought we want to adopt a little girl from China and give my niece a cousin. And at the time, you know, the little girls, they were in orphanages, they didn't have a home, their parents had given them up. And we just thought it was a wonderful thing that we could do. So we started up. That process was very long. You know, we had to get all our paperwork together and our dossier and everything. And then right when we got into the program, they shut it down. So our adoption agency was very much like, they're going to open it up. Don't worry. You know, this will happen. It may just take some time. So we waited a year in the program and it still wasn't opened up. So we thought, well, we're in there. We might as well just wait, you know. So they opened it back up and we were excited. Oh, this is going to happen. We're going to get a baby. We had a nursery. We had baby clothes. We were ready. Mm-hmm. And then they opened it back up, but it was very, very slow. So, and I don't know the number, but let's say instead of giving out 1,000 babies a month, they were giving out 10. It slowed down that much to where everybody in my group was like, well, how long is this going to take? And a year went by and 2 years went by and 3 years went by. And we thought, we'll just update our paperwork. Like, we're in this for the long haul. At that time, I'd had a hysterectomy. So getting pregnant was out of the picture for me. My doctor suggested I do that because of the endometriosis. So, you know, getting pregnant was done for us, but we still had so much hope in this adoption, but it didn't feed back up. And at year six, my husband lost his job and we didn't meet the income requirements anymore. So we had to drop out. And then 14 months later, our date came up and our baby was ready, but we weren't in the program anymore. So at this point now, because we have a lot of people in our group that have the same date that we had, you know, login date.
Yeah.
We would have had an 11-year-old now had we been able to stay in the program if my husband hadn't lost his job.
Yeah. Oh, wow. After going through 6 years, we've never tried international. We were told in the beginning that it was going to take a long time. And at that time when we were starting, I was like, I don't know if we have the liberty to wait because we were getting older.
Yeah.
So I said, and I'm originally from the Philippines. So I actually said, oh, of course, I would want to reach out and kind of like help out a Filipino child, right? Who is homeless or something. But then they said it was going to take like, 3-4 years at least. Mm-hmm. And this was only, about through the pandemic when we were looking into it.
Yeah.
But obviously the pandemic happened and it was almost like, oh, it's good that we didn't start that process international because things obviously rapidly just changed dramatically. Yeah. But I get like just the waiting and then they closed, the agency closed, and then they opened back up. How did you even, how did you even like go through that process? Because I know for myself, honestly, I went through depression and it was triggered. I have a long history of depression to begin with, which I've really been sharing, and anxiety. And throughout this journey of the roller coaster ride, we had a baby and we didn't have the baby. Like there were two failed adoptions that we went through. But even prior to that, we had all the IVFs and then all the other treatments. Uh-huh. It's like you feel hopeful and then, it didn't work out. It was such a roller coaster ride that it really affected my mental health.
Yeah.
And it was hard for a long time. And then you try to stay positive and you keep your faith. But the reality is it was heartbreaking. Yeah. So how did you cope like during that time? Or do you even remember? Because it could also be just a blur, right? Because, you know, it's been a while.
It is a little bit of a blur. But I also suffer from anxiety and depression. And in the beginning, it was very isolating. I've been isolating myself from my head. I so wanted to be pregnant. I wanted to carry a child. And I felt like he didn't understand that part of it. Of course he wanted to be a dad more than anything. But, you know, for my body to fail me, that's how I felt. My body failed because I couldn't. I'd never been pregnant. I've never had a miscarriage. I've never been pregnant at all. My body just would not allow it. So I felt very isolated in that time. I isolated myself from my friends, even my sister, who's my best friend. We're twins. I just kind of shut down a little bit. I used to be a teacher. I was a teacher for 14 years of kindergartners. And, you know, at first it was very comforting. It was kind of comforting because I had these were my kids. These were my babies, you know? But after a while, I got a little burnt. I found myself getting burnt out. And then I found it harder. I worked at a Catholic school. There, we had parents, some Catholic parents.
Yeah.
They have a lot of kids and I just kept seeing the same families come through my classroom. And I got to kind of the place where I'm like, it's not fair. It's not fair that they get to have four kids and I don't get to have any. And that's not a good mindset to have, especially when you're a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of decided that I was going to kind of wind down that my teacher profession. I was getting a little burnt out. I was tired from the infertility and the pain. So I ended up switching jobs to the job I'm at now. I've been here 13 years. And that made it a little easier to not be around all the babies again anymore. You know, everybody in my office is older. They're not going to get pregnant. You know, I'm not going to have to deal with being around a lot of pregnant people, because I found that to be very, very hard. And I felt very bitter. But I was able, through therapy, my husband and I both went to therapy. Mm. I went alone, and then we went together for years, probably three or 4 years we went to therapy. And we were also dealing with my husband's long-term unemployment. So there was some tension there, because I was the main breadwinner now. So that actually brought us much closer together, the therapy. And I was able to really grieve, because I felt like people didn't get it. They didn't understand, like, how devastating it is to try to have a child and not be able to do that. And I never imagined us childless. It never crossed my mind that we would not have children. So that was that was hard for me to overcome as well.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for sharing that. I know it's a very vulnerable subject to talk about, but I appreciate you sharing, you know, that it felt isolating for you at some point for obvious reasons, right? And then that you even actually chose to really change your career, because it really hurt kind of being surrounded by these kids that you couldn't have, right? I mean, it's got to be hard, because for me too, like, you know, like you mentioned, you also go through this depression, and I am very susceptible to it. So it was hard, and I can't even imagine, like, you having to go through that for 6 years. And I'm glad that you guys went through therapy, because we went through the therapy too. We're still going through therapy. We both have individual therapies, and we have couples therapy as well. So we're getting all the help that we need, right? To really move forward and not hold on to all those negative feelings and negative thoughts. Because I don't want to be bitter like you. I don't also want to be resentful. I have so many nieces and nephews and great nieces and great nephews. Right. So I want to love them. But there's also this part of me that kind of like thinks like what could have been, you know? Sometimes I feel bad, like what my husband feel. Right? Because while he shares a lot of, you know, what he's going through, there's only so much that you really know still. And I'm always wondering about that. But at least you said that you guys have gotten closer together. So, are you guys still kind of like, have you moved on ever since? Like, can you say that you're really... I think we heal every day, right? But can you say that you've at least healed a lot?
Yes, I can. Yeah. I don't have those feelings of bitterness or jealousy.
Amazing.
Anymore. But also it brought us much closer. We've gotten a lot closer. We started to rely on each other instead of, I'm not going to say there aren't times when a twinge of what could have been, but not necessarily jealousy or anything, but just like sadness almost.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just seeing other family members, like you said, great nieces and cousins, you know, second cousins all having babies, you know, it's wonderful every time that happens. But sometimes there's a little twinge of sadness on what could have been, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. I don't think it will ever go away. And I'm okay with that now. I'm starting to accept that this is what is. And that's why I want to focus on all the great things that we're able to do right now. And deciding that I no longer want to be defined. You know, I never wanted to be defined by motherhood, but it's because I've longed it for so long. Right. And now it's like an adjustment, you know, because 10 years of our marriage, right. we married at the later phase in our lives. And so the odds were already not in our favor when we tried all the treatments. Like, we got married when I was 39. So we knew that it was, you know, the age, but still I needed to try because I didn't want to have regrets and look back that I wish I did try everything that I could.
Yeah.
But yeah, like right now, I think like you guys, you know, we've gotten a lot closer together too, which is great. I did notice that on your Instagram account that you guys have been traveling, or you guys have been going to national parks, because we love national parks. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, these are great, like, nature photos. And, you know, so what have you guys been doing? Really?
We love natural parks. I mean, we live in the forest, so that's something we really enjoy. We haven't really left the state too much. I mean, I have. I've been to Yellowstone, but my sister and I went together.
Mm-hmm.
But we love exploring California state parks because there's so many, so mm-hmm. much to do.
Oh, yeah.
But like hiking is one of our favorite activities to do. And we have hiking trails outside our doorway. So we can hike at any time. We literally just walk across the way and there's a hiking trail. So that's something we really enjoy doing together.
Yeah, that's amazing. My husband would probably be jealous hearing that because he loves to hike. I love to hike, but not as much as he does. He really gets me out of my comfort zone. And so we have been traveling a lot together too. But yeah, hiking, we love to do. But I can only go hiking for like just several hours, like not a full day. Like I would go for like 5-6 tops, I think. Because I'm like, no, he's climbed Kilimanjaro.
Me too. I'm the same.
So yeah, he's... yeah.
Yeah, we're not that into it.
He's into it. So, but yeah, California has like one of the best hiking trails, really. So we have it available to us here without having to drive too far or fly even, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
No, that's awesome. So one of the things for me personally, I'm big on self-care. And I think that self-care is really one of the tools that I use, you know, kind of overcoming the struggles. But one thing that's good for us right now, because we don't have kids, so we do have plenty of time. We have that liberty to really take care of ourselves. What are some of your self-care, you know, practices, if you will?
Well, my husband works on Saturdays, so we don't go out much on the weekends because we do live on a mountain road. Mm. And there are a lot of people out on the weekends, and we just were like, tourists need to go.
Yeah.
We stay home a lot on the weekends, but I have Saturdays to myself. So I just love doing my nails and doing face masks and hair masks. Scrapbooking to me is also a self-care item for myself.
It 100%.
Really relaxes me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really relaxes me. So basically just having the day to myself after I do my Saturday chores, I have the rest of the day to do whatever I want. I can watch a movie. I can read a book. I don't have any limitations on what I can do when I'm by myself.
Right, right. No, that's awesome.
That's really nice.
That's great. My husband plays Ultimate Frisbee, and so he would play on Saturdays. Like right now, he's actually out playing. But then there are times he'll ask me, like, so what do you want to do? I said, we're always together. It's okay. I want some time on my own.
I agree.
Because we have no kids. And so we are together, you know, just like all the time. And I said, you do your thing and I'll do my thing. Like, and that's it's one of the healthier things that you can do as a couple as well.
So, I agree.
Self-care. Okay. Well, I mean, thank you again for sharing your story and being so willing to just really talk about it and even being so vulnerable, you know, sharing the struggles and the hardships that come with it. As we wrap up this conversation, like I want to just ask some rapid fire questions just to have fun with, you know, things. Okay. So my first question is, where was the last time you traveled to?
We just came from Oregon.
Oh, fun. I love Oregon.
So Yeah, we usually stick to states close to California.
Yeah. No, it was a nice drive too, right?
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
Beautiful drive. Okay. Give me one silver lining of not having kids.
Oh, but having the freedom to go whenever we want, not have to worry about childcare, or not that we would not bring them with us, but it's a lot easier to travel just two people than it is to have a child with you.
100%. So those are the things that we cannot take for granted, having that freedom to do anything we want, anytime we want, really.
Right.
Okay. What's your favorite food?
Tacos. I can eat tacos every day.
Me too. I love tacos. Name one guilty pleasure that we really shouldn't feel guilty about, but people consider it guilty, but I don't consider it guilty anymore. But like, that's what's one thing.
Like sometimes on a Saturday, I'll do nothing, nothing. And I feel sometimes guilty about that because, you know, my coworkers would be like, oh, you know, we built a fence this weekend. I did nothing this weekend.
Well, that's part of the liberty that we have, right? We can really do nothing. And you know what? I'm with you. We shouldn't feel guilty about that because we can do nothing.
Yeah.
And honestly, everyone should take a break and just do nothing because it's just good for your mental health and your physical health.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Last one. If money is not an option, what would you dream about right now?
Oh, having horses again. Like having a land with horses. I rode horses till I was 25. Oh. And I miss it so much. And I do have neighbors that have horses, but I am able to experience it. But I would love to have a land with horses.
Oh, and that's so beautiful. So did you ride the horses? Like, did you?
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was the best.
I can imagine. Well, I'm rooting for you. I hope you get to have your horses. You get to have because you can, and why not? You don't have kids, right? So you can have horses.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, okay. Thank you again for being here. You've been so gracious. Like I said, your kindness, your grace, your just genuine heart to share and just talk about this. And you've been so kind to me and you've been so supportive. So thank you. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
As always, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of By Chance Podcast. Your continued support will help us spread the word and create a movement out of this mission. Please don't forget to subscribe, and you can follow us on Instagram at bychance.gathering. You can also visit our website, bychancegathering.com, and you can sign up for our email list. And be the first to know about our new episodes, updates, exclusive offers, and more. All this information will be in our show notes. Lastly, if this inspires you to share your story, please email us at hello@bychancegathering.com. I would love to hear from you. Or if you know anyone who would be willing to share their story, please let us know. Share this episode with a friend, and let's continue to normalize this conversation. Until next time, this is By Chance Podcast, and I am honored to walk this journey with you.